When we talk about visibility, we have to come up with a strategy that gets you visible to other people's audiences, as well as builds your authority on your own show.
Welcome to the Visibility Strategies for Women Entrepreneurs podcast, where we empower female business owners to step boldly into the spotlight and claim the recognition they deserve. I'm your host, Tori Barker. I'm passionate about helping women like you transform your visibility into tangible business success. Each week on this show, we'll dive deep into game-changing strategies, share inspiring success stories from women who've mastered their visibility, and offer practical, actionable advice you can implement immediately. Whether you're just starting your entrepreneurial journey, pivoting your business model, or ready to elevate your existing presence to new heights, you'll discover effective approaches to create exciting opportunities and expand your reach. So let's harness the power of strategic visibility and grow your business together. Welcome to the show. Thanks so much for joining us on Visibility Strategies for Women Entrepreneurs podcast. I am very excited to have my podcast expert guest, Virginia Elder. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Tori. I appreciate it.
So tell us, for the people who don't know you, who you are and what you do.
Yeah, thank you. I am Virginia Elder, the owner of Podcast Abundance, which is a podcast production company where we specialize in audio and video podcast production. So we've been in business since 2019, and I do have a small team of amazing folks that help me. So don't get confused. I don't do it all myself. And if you want to check out things further, you can also hear me on Podcasting for Financial Professionals. That's my show.
I love that. So tell us, since you started in 2019, what was the moment that you knew this was the direction that you needed to go in, that this was your zone of genius for podcasting?
Well, it definitely did not feel like a zone of genius at first, right? I have a financial background as far as like audit and accounting goes. During my career there, my family was going through some personal finance issues, situations related to extended family, and all that got crazy. And I actually turned to financial podcasts to help me out, get me out of the weeds, teach me what to do here. And that led me to attend a financial media conference. And I met some friends there and walked around with them for a while, come to figure out their financial advisors. And they were interested in launching a podcast. So right there at that conference, and the piece that I'm leaving out is I had quit my full-time job and decided to do money coaching for moms going through a situation that I had just gone through.
Yeah.
And I had launched my own podcast through that, just trying to reach other moms and continue the education that I had learned. Because I figured, you know what, if I'm in this spot, like other moms with young children are going through the same thing. Like this is not a unique situation.
Absolutely.
So hearing that I'd launched my show, they were like, oh, you should launch our show. And I was like, whoa, this is not the plan. And they were like, yeah, we trust you. You could do it. I think we could work this out. So I went home thinking like, oh my gosh, this could be fun, but also what am I getting myself into?
Yeah.
And we did launch that show. It was I at the time. And within the year, I came across a few other financial advisors that also wanted help launching their show. And so it just was this like natural progression of the universe pushing me toward doing this and being kind of in that background production space rather than being the financial educator myself, which I'm totally fine with.
Yeah.
And really just helping promote those voices and getting financial education out into the world. And I feel like that even accomplishes my original mission when I started my show too, was just to get more financial literacy and more financial education out to women, moms, you know, anybody needing that guidance for free. There it is, available on podcasts.
Yeah. I love that story because it's the evolution of your journey, and it's not necessarily the plan or path that you thought you were going to take, but it's led you to where you are today with huge purpose and passion. And as we both know, you know, podcasting is such an amazing medium. It's my visibility platform of choice. And there's so many benefits to podcasting. And so I'm excited for us to go a little bit deeper and talk more about why podcasting is such a dynamic visibility tool. So maybe give your perspective and we'll go a little bit further.
Yeah, absolutely. So most people come to me saying, like, I am sick of social media. It doesn't work anyways. And I know there has to be a way to get my message, my voice, my personality out there that doesn't require me to like feel this grind or this hustle, this like constant need to be going live or, you know, posting something on social media, essentially.
Yeah.
And that is the benefit of podcasting. You create episodes and post them and they live forever until you literally close down your host account and remove your episodes. Mm-hmm. They can continue to build listeners even years after you've posted that content.
Yeah.
And the other piece of that is that that's really kind of my favorite piece is that you can record off hours in the dark, wherever, whenever, as long as you're kind of paying attention to a few little environment pieces around noise and things like that, just so that you have a good quality sound. And then they can be published and scheduled out later.
Yeah.
To go live at a time when you're busy doing something else. So that's kind of just the magic.
Let's talk a little bit about the audience piece, because I think it's really important for people listening who may not have a podcast or who may be thinking about starting a podcast, why it's so important to really niche or be specific on who your audience is. Talk a little bit about that when it comes to starting a podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. So even when we start our businesses, the tendency is to serve a broad range of people, which is actually super counterintuitive. And you end up being kind of bland, honestly, in your marketing and messaging. And podcasting works the same way. People are looking for very specific answers to niche issues that they're having in their life. You know, it's the young mom with two young kids that has a truckload of debt because of her parents' situation, right? Like, it's so specific. And there's a small group of people that are going to latch on to that content for dear life and never let go. And those are the people that you want. And I'm using like my old concept as an example there.
Yeah.
But that's how it is. Like, there are a million, I'm just going to use my client base as an example. There's a million financial advisors out there. And you could get a big swath of them that all kind of have the same thing going as far as their branding. But there's going to be a like cream of the crop group on the top that have very specific pinpoints that they touch. And if one of those pinpoints aligns with your life, that's your person, that's your show that you're going to listen to.
Yeah.
And so you want to kind of pull that back and assign it to your own industry or your own business and go, okay, like, how do I get super specific on what I'm talking about, who I'm talking to, why I'm sharing this? There's a handful of questions that you can identify so that you're not bland and you're very pointed with your message. And believe it or not, that will build audience faster and those people will be more loyal.
Yeah.
Rather than if you just like broadly talked about, I don't know, marketing or finance or any industry.
Yeah. And I think that really starts with the name of your podcast too, because if you think about how people are looking for podcasts, they're using specific words, right? This goes, this ties into keywords and SEO, which we'll get to, but I think the naming of your podcast has got to be the first thing that you think of, and it has to truly be aligned with your audience. And like, I'll share my experience. So I've had 3 or 4 podcasts over the course of my entrepreneur career. And this podcast is the newest iteration of my business and the journey that I'm on. And as I was thinking about my podcast, I'm like, what am I going to call it? Right. And so it really was like thinking about what's the problem I solve and who's the audience that I want to reach. And so visibility strategies for women entrepreneurs. How much more specific can you get? And like you, I know you just recently went through a rebrand for your podcast to be hyper specific towards financial, the financial audience. So talk a little bit about the importance of naming.
Yeah. So in the podcast space, when we talk about podcast specific SEO, which I know, Tori, you're an expert as far as like SEO for websites.
Yeah.
And it works very similarly. But when people search a term, the number one hits are going to be if the words you typed in match someone's title to their show. The second level of hits, as we're calling them here, is going to be their episode titles. So if the phrase that you typed in matches something that they have in their episode titles, after that, it gets a little murky, but your show title is the number one way that people are going to identify, I want to listen to that.
Yeah. You mentioned the episode titles. So how do you advise your clients on structuring, or how does your team maybe structure the episode titles? Is it important to, obviously we want to include those keywords, right, that are specific to who you're trying to target, but is it also important to include the guest name, the host name? Talk a little bit about that mindset behind the episode title.
Yeah. So the host name should be intertwined in the actual podcast summary, not necessarily the episode specific title, but you've got space there when you're launching your show to provide a show summary. So it's like the overarching theme of who you are, what you're doing, who this is for, why they should listen, the benefits, all of that stuff. And your name should be in that section. It's also going to be attached to you because you're the owner of that host account, right? Or of that Apple Podcast account.
Yeah.
So, then as we talk about episode titles, yes, you absolutely want to have keywords that also are relevant and truly summarize what you guys talked about in that episode. We don't want to be clickbaity. People were really turned off by that.
Oh yeah.
So make sure that the keywords you're searching and using for your titles are actually relevant. That's like tip number one. Those keywords should be within the first 3 to 4 words of your episode title. After that is where, if you choose, you want to place your guest name, maybe your episode number. We've started using like a bar with EP5 or EP100 at the very end of the podcast title. I would not put those things up front because you're using up like strong characters instead of it being like a keyword right there.
Right.
As far as guest names, most people, unless you're a celebrity or some type of guru, most people don't go to their podcast app and type in someone's name.
Yeah, very true.
I can almost guarantee you nobody is doing that to my name. Okay. As much as, you know, I feel like I'm well known in the podcast circles, but like nobody's doing that to my name. So let's just get real. It depends on your perspective as the host and your style and how much you want to highlight your guests if you put their name in the title. And even then, I would make their name at the end of the title, either after some colons or after a bar or something.
Yeah. That's keep the prime real estate for the keywords at the beginning, right?
Exactly. Same as you would with like a blog post or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. So the other thing I want to talk about too, so podcasting is a huge visibility tool, but it's also a thought leadership platform, right? Mm-hmm. And there's different types of podcasting formats. So there's solo cast, interview style, there's a mix. Talk a little bit about maybe which one you think is the best for building thought leadership, or is it a mix? What's your perspective?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it is very custom to your goals. So when we talk about visibility, we have to come up with a strategy that gets you visible to other people's audiences, as well as builds your authority on your own show.
Yeah.
So to build authority and visibility on your own platforms, they need to hear from you as an individual, as their mentor, teacher, guide, strategist, whatever position you want to take. And those individual episodes are going to show your audience how you approach topics, how you work with someone, your level of abruptness maybe versus a softer side. It's just going to showcase who you are and how you work. They're going to really get to know how your personality through things.
Yeah.
The balance there is figuring out the frequency or cadence of how often you either want to guest on other people's shows, because then you're getting exposed to their audiences.
Yeah.
And or how often you want to have a guest on your show.
Yeah.
Because while not all guests share to millions of viewers, sometimes guests don't share the episode at all, which is like, there's a few things we can do there to try to help them out. But, you know, you're playing a game. That's what this is. The whole, you know, all of business is essentially a game. But you've got to figure out how often and when and who, that's an important piece to have on your show. Because if you only create a solo show and you never guest and you never have anyone on as a guest, you are very likely what I call podcasting in a silo. And there's no like networking going on in the podcast space. So if you're going to do that, you are going to have to leverage other ways of attracting listeners into that show by speaking on stage at events, by having a robust social media following, by, you know, running ads so that people are constantly exposed to your brand and coming in. Like, there's going to have to be other strategies if you are going to go solo only.
Yeah.
Now, of course, this gets into the strategy piece with podcasting, because if your business is structured to where you're really, really at max right now and you don't have time to schedule interviews and stuff like that, and you just want to get some content out, that's not to say you shouldn't start a solo show, you know, and have this goal of like, okay, let me do this for 6 months or a certain time period before you reevaluate your strategy. That's a great way just to get started with the tools that you have, the time that you have, and just start going. Cause that's another huge barrier, is that people sit on it for too long.
Yeah. Failure to launch.
So there's all this stuff that you can consider. Bottom line is you do really have to get clear on your goals for your business and be realistic about the time and energy and budget that you have that you want to put into your show.
Yeah, totally agree. And it's, I feel like for myself, like that's a constant thought that I have, is like, how much is too much? How often? frequency, balance, all of these things. And so it's so important to just kind of really step back and look at the strategy and really put a plan in place. And the beauty of it is that you can pivot, right? Like you can do this for 3-6 months and then, you know, your business shifts and you can make a pivot to shift with that. And so it can evolve with you as you grow. One of the last things I want to talk about, which I think is almost the most important thing, is repurposing the content. And, you know, we talk, and obviously you and I both know as being hosts that there's so many ways of repurposing a podcast. So I'd love for you to talk about maybe some of the key ways to repurpose, like maybe the top three repurposing tools, and then the importance of not getting overwhelmed with trying to do all the things.
Yes, yes. So a piece of not getting overwhelmed is identifying the center of your content creation process, right? Like, what is the first and main thing that I would put time into and then repurpose it out to places, right? So of course, I'm going to say, let's go podcasting first, because from there, you can create a blog post or a few, a newsletter or a few, social media posts. If you're recording videos, you can get reels out of it. You can create quote cards. There's so many things. And yeah. I mean, ChatGPT is wonderful at telling you like all the 50 things that you yeah. could do. But when you see that list of 50 things, you're like, oh my God, how can I do all this? Yeah. And that's where I would kind of like, again, pull it back to your goals. What are the primary platforms where your audience hangs out? If it's fun to be on Instagram, but like your audience isn't there, nobody ever DMs you or comments on your posts or whatever, well, then maybe that's not really like where your ideal clients are. Maybe they're on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
And so you would kind of pull back and say, okay, well, I'm going to, you know, commit to this weekly show and I'm going to repurpose this into 2 posts a week for LinkedIn, you know, just like get it down to the bare minimum of like, how can I get exposure to people who may not know about the podcast, but let it also be sustainable for me, my energy, my time, my budget, all the things that I have to put into this.
Yeah.
And I would say one of the easiest, and what I'm going to say is like a bare necessity to repurpose your podcast, is to have a plugin installed on your site. And probably Tori is like a whiz at this, right? Yeah. Where you essentially every time you post an episode in your podcast host account, it automatically gets pulled into your website as a blog post. And that blog post is essentially your show notes, maybe the transcripts attached. Yeah. Maybe there's an image attached. Like, it depends on the settings and which plugin you download.
Right.
But that way, you're not only getting exposure on podcast platforms, but it's going up on your website. And Google thinks and knows that you're producing fresh content each week or every other week. So you're using, like you said earlier, Tori, all of the real estate available to you.
Yeah. Let's talk lastly about the metrics, because I think that's something that people don't truly know or understand. What's the most important metric when you're looking at a successful podcast? What should you keep an eye on?
Yeah. So many people get sidetracked with like their download numbers, and that I compare to like your follower numbers on Instagram or something. Like, you could have 1 million followers on Instagram and $0 business, right? So let's not play. When you're podcasting, especially in a niche topic like what we've talked about, you can very much so expect your download numbers, your listener numbers to be small. Actually, because you're purposely speaking to a very small, relatively, right? Yeah. If there's like 300 something million people in the US, and let's say you only provide services in the US online, to women, to this group, whatever. And so that 300 million people number is getting smaller and smaller and smaller with every qualifier we place on who you're speaking to. That's fine, right? Yeah. And then you have to realize that not everyone's going to discover you right now, next week, this year even.
Yeah.
Podcasting is very much a long game, very similar to the way business is a long game. Very, very high percentages of businesses go under, go out of business in the early years, right? But when you get past 5 years, past 10 years, like the longer you're in business, the more likely you are to be successful.
Yeah.
Same thing in podcasting.
Absolutely.
The longer you're there, the more likely you are to build an audience. So when you have a new show and a niche audience, you're going to start out with like 10 listeners.
Yeah.
You're going to build that to 20, to 50, to 100.
Yeah.
I have a client that he produces only twice a month, so very slow burn.
Yeah.
And he's about to publish episode 20. So that kind of, you could do the math, and that tells you like how long we've been working together. And he just crossed over 1,000 downloads per episode, which is a high number considering how few episodes he's published.
Right.
I have other folks that are in the hundreds of episodes, and we're looking at 1 in 2,000 downloads per episode. So it's like there is a broad range as far as the numbers and downloads, but what you need to boil it down to is, what are those people doing?
Mm-hmm.
Are they taking any level of action after downloading or listening? Because that's the metric you see.
Yeah.
But like, is your email list growing?
Yeah.
Are you getting calls booked on your calendar? What's happening? Right.
Right.
Do you have like a specific freebie that you're promoting only on the podcast, and then you can see the number of people that have downloaded that freebie? Like, identify very clearly what you want them to do and start calling that out in your episodes, every episode, maybe a couple times, the beginning and the end.
Yeah.
And you have to make it really clear what you want them to do. And that's the metric that you're going to focus on, not necessarily the number of people listening.
Yeah.
Because that's going to be inflated. How many people are taking action? And what can you do to increase how easy it is to take that action, or how often they hear and are reminded to take that action?
Yeah. Oh, I love it. I mean, I feel like you and I could just chat for hours here.
For sure. For sure.
Let's go maybe back and forth. Just, let's like, go, let's for keep hours. Going. But Virginia, it's been so amazing talking to you, and thank you for sharing your expertise and your advice and your knowledge. I think it's really helpful for people to hear, this visibility tool is so dynamic, and there's so many nuances to it, and there's right ways to do it, there's wrong ways to do it. Like, I think it's so important to hear good advice. And so I appreciate having you as a guest. And how can people learn more about what you do and get in touch with you?
Yeah, thank you for asking. So I am at Virginia Elder on LinkedIn. That is my primary platform. And then the website is podcastabundance.com. And since we talked about the plugin and like some easy ways to kind of automate things, I want to offer my 5 automations free download.
Love it.
And that is at podcastabundance.com/5-automations.
Perfect.
And in that download, it says like right on the front, 5 automations to save 5 hours of work each week.
Yeah, we'll definitely put that in the show notes. And if any of you guys listening are thinking about podcasting or have a podcast and need to figure out ways to make it more sustainable in your business, definitely check that out. Follow Virginia. And just thank you guys for listening. And Virginia, thank you for being a guest.
Thank you, Tori. It was awesome.